Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Offloading Plastics.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. GE has one word for the division it's selling: plastics. The Saudi Arabian company that's going to buy it has three, $11 billion. That's the price tag GE's plastic company will fetch from Saudi's largest construction company, higher than expected. Cadbury Schweppes also may get more than it thought for the fizzy part of its business. Word today, two private equity bidders are readying offers of $8 billion for its soft drinks division. It had expected to get $7 billion. And on Wall Street Thursday, the Dow closed down 11 to 13,476. The Nasdaq closed down 8 to 2,539. And the S&P closed down 2 to 1,512. British Airways has set aside hundreds of millions of dollars to cover the cost of breaking competition laws. The company today reported a sharp decline in profits following a series of setbacks. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Today, BA revealed the financial cost of anti-competitive behavior. The airline has earmarked $700 million to pay potential fines and compensation claims. The company broke the rules against collusion and price fixing. It discussed a planned increase in its fuel surcharge with a rival airline. It's widely believed that that airline was its bitterest competitor, Virgin, and Virgin reported the offence. BA's chief executive, Willie Walsh, says he regrets the whole episode.
Despite the clear and very comprehensive policy that we have at British Airways, there have been breaches of this policy in relation to discussions about these surcharges with competitors.
Collusion hasn't been BA's only problem. Profits for the last year are down 13% for other reasons as well. A terrorist threat last August, a severe fog in December, and a threatened strike by cabin crew led to the cancellation of thousands of flights. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Russia and the Bank of New York are going on a date to court. Russian officials are suing the bank for alleged money laundering in the late 90s. Russia says that helped companies avoid paying taxes there. The suit calls for $22 billion in damages. We spend a lot of time here on the morning shift at Marketplace talking about what we do in order to get some sleep. A new report says drug companies sold more than $6 billion worth of sleep aids last year, and that figure is growing. From the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
The report from Data Monitor studied seven major markets, including the U.S., France, Germany, and Japan. It predicts that sleep aid sales will reach nearly $8 billion by 2016. Dr. Rafael Pelayo says the number could go even higher. He's with the Stanford Sleep Disorders Clinic and also consults for drug companies.
Insomnia is not going to go away because the population is aging. As people get older, they have more insomnia. And there's greater demand than our time. There's more 24/7 society.
Pelayo says a lot of people don't even see a doctor for insomnia because they don't want to get addicted to a pill. And he says there are things people can do to enhance sleep without medication. But a new class of sleep drugs holds great potential because they're less addictive. Sanofi Aventis, the current sleep drug leader, has two of these drugs that are close to hitting the market. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating women and women's health. Information and resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. And the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
This has been a pretty big week for the entertainment industry, big screen and small. Movie poobahs from around the world have swarmed to the south of France for the infamous confab known as Cannes. Back on this side of the pond, TV executives have been taking the wraps off new programs. They're hoping to tempt potential advertisers to part with the money. Variety's executive editor Michael Spire says in the age of the TiVo, that's not so easy.
networks have to find ways to make up for the fact that while a viewer would watch a television show, they might not be watching it on the traditional platform. So if they watch it online, if they watch it later, if they download it and the ads are attached to it, that still counts. But it doesn't count in the Nielsen ratings. So all of this, the internet and the digital age, has not just screwed around with people's heads. It's also screwed around with the real business of this stuff.
Is there something about this particular upfront, though, where that's sort of coming to a head, critical mass?
The digital discussion has hit critical mass. I mean, 5 years ago, this was not a discussion. Nobody worried. But now people want to know if you download a show on one of the network's digital platforms on a computer and ads are attached to it, does that count? And nobody knows how to monetize it because everybody's new to it.
Okay, so let's talk about the big screen now. Is it Con? How do you say it?
It's Can. The big festival has started. And when I say the big festival, it is the granddaddy of them all.
So is it a sales festival or is it an honor festival? What actually goes on at Can besides watching a bunch of movies?
There's a lot. This is what we call a market festival. In other words, there is a marketplace where people go to buy and sell films. But, of course, above all of this is the competition, the red carpet galas, the stars, and this year there's a lot of superstar power. So a lot goes on. There's the business of it, but there's also the big pleasure of the red carpet.
Mm-hmm. That's your reward for enduring it.
Exactly.
Right. So it's interesting that in this age of everything being digital that we have the upfronts going on at the same time as we have Can going on, which suggests that we don't need to just sit behind a screen all the time. We actually do have to get out and
right,
schmooze.
Right. And it's also kind of old school. I mean, all of this is real old. The Cannes Film Festival, there's nothing digital about it. It's the beach. It's the Croisette, as they say. It's the south of France. It's really great. It really hasn't changed all that much. It's still – you got to get into the competition films. You got to wear a tuxedo at the premieres. It's really old school stuff. And in the upfront world, they've been doing this for years, and they always do it at the same time. It's like this is the big kickoff to the year-round stuff.
Do they still have the three martini lunches, though, during the upfronts? Or is
Yeah. But now they just bring it into the presentation. So they have stars come in on helicopters just to surprise everybody. It's a big showcase because they want to impress everybody.
Michael Speier is executive editor of Variety in Los Angeles. I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.